Okay, we're going to get started because. Now, we've already talked about the new creation, and we've talked about creation. And so I like this semester they have, now we're talking about the fall of man. So we talked about God creating, and I think I taught that one. But now we're talking about the fall of man, because we have to address what happened in Genesis. So we have the foundation down. So what is the reason for man? Why did God desire to create a man?
For fellowship.
Bingo. Yeah. He had a love and a desire for children, just like we, when we get married, we have, or even before we get married, we have a love and we have a desire to have someone to love and to fellowship with and to be with. So, like with parents, you know, they wanted to create that tiny little person, that creature that they can nurture and love. So in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it's talking about human fathers, but we're referring, it's a type of the Father God. So it says in verse 14 and 15, "For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knee before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name." So here, God's plan was to create a man who would walk with him. You remember we read about, you know, Adam, we will read about Adam walking in the garden with God. Walk with him as his child. Romans 16 and 25. "Now to him who is able to strengthen you in the faith, which is in accordance with my gospel and the preaching of concerning Jesus Christ the Messiah, according to the revelation, the unveiling of the mystery of the plan of redemption, which was kept in silence and secret for long ages, but is now disclosed and through the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations." So God had a plan. He had a plan in the beginning. And what has happened is we've been so blindsided of what the plan was from the beginning that we are so, like I said before, we fall so short of what God had planned for us as the Father and as his children. So we learned in the creation of man that man was the reason for creation. God created the earth so lavishly, all the stuff that's on here, for our benefit. And he did it for his children. He didn't have to make how many different oceans. And he didn't have to make mountains and valleys. And he could have made everything just level. He didn't have to make how many umpteen different kinds of fish or birds. He made flowers, so many different flowers, so many different smells. He did it for us.
Which wasn't to say he enjoyed it as well.
Yeah. Well, we all have different love languages. I don't know if all of you read that book, The Five Love Languages. And I think of God, and I think of God as creating is his love language, because he loved us, and look what he created for us. He made this home for us. And the reason I'm laying this foundation down, because we're talking about the fall of man, is because we fell so far and threw so much away, but in the end, we're redeemed. But God loves to create things for us, good things, beautiful things that we can enjoy. So just a thought for now. We're not going to dig into this right this minute because we're coming back to it. But what do you think Satan's thought was when he saw all this? What do you think Satan's thought was when he saw the earth being created with all its lavishness? When he saw humans being created the way that we were, so wondrously made?
Envy and jealousy.
Oh, jealousy. Man, and yeah.
Probably a lot of hatred.
And bitter, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking more on the lines of him being
and,
proud.
Well, and what about seeing the authority that man was given? This Well, we'll get into that later.
He was probably pretty miffed off by that.
After
his tactic against God, and then for God to turn around and give something else.
Exactly.
He was in charge of all the angels.
And worship here. Man was created to be close to God. Man was created in his image. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to spend a good bit of time in Genesis, but that's the fall of man. So, Genesis 1, and we're going to start in 25 and 26.
Have you ever noticed Genesis 1 is like the hardest place to go to in your Bible because you always flip past it?
To the introduction or whatever.
Oh, no. Yeah. And God made the wild beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and domestic animals according to their kinds, and everything that creeps upon the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good and fitting and pleasant, and he approved it. God said, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth." Now, this man, this first man, his name was Adam. And the features that God gave to man is, number one, he's triune. And we know that means spirit, body, and soul. We are a spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul. So man, originally, the plan was that your spirit was to rule over your body and your soul. You know, your other parts, you the spirit, were supposed to be ruling and reigning over them. However, we kind of have it backwards now because our bodies tell us what to do, how we feel.
What we need,
yep. So at death, man's soul and himself leave his body. Which, then what happens to the body?
It deteriorates.
There's no reason for it. It deteriorates.
It's got all purpose.
Disintegration over time.
God deletes it.
So, number two, man has a will. He has the power to choose. He is I am the determiner of my actions. He gave us that. Without a will, if you're a puppet, how do you fellowship with God? That's not fellowship.
No.
I mean, think of a ventriloquist, you know, with the little dummy thing on his lap. You can't fellowship with that. I mean,
say that. He's intellectually challenged.
He's still.
Or he's a marionette.
Yeah, marionette, yep. Keeping your hand in Genesis, although I think you'll be able to find it again. Let's go to Luke.
I don't know, it's kind of hard.
Chapter 9. Luke, that's a smart Alex. Luke chapter 9, verse 23.
I was making fun of myself there.
It's okay, I like the joke. So Luke 9:23. We have to have a will to be able to do Luke 9:23. So it says, "And he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse to give up himself, take up his cross daily, follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also." We talked about in the creation thing that man's mind was so developed that he could name all the animals in the kingdom. That's a smart guy. Well, in Genesis chapter 2, let's go back over here. Genesis chapter 2. And 19 and 20. What?
Just handy to have more than one Bible.
19 and 20. "And out of the ground the Lord formed every wild beast and living creature of the field, every bird of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was its name. And Adam gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the air, to every wild beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper meet, suitable, adapted, and complementary for him." So as far as the man's spiritual condition was, the plan was that his spirit was to be eternal. And as far as his human, the body, that was designed to live forever. But what happened? You know, so he loved them. He loved us so much. He loved the man. He loved the woman so much. He gave them authority. Now, he had created this whole creation, and then he placed. Can you imagine? We talked about stewardship a couple weeks ago. That he then placed him in authority over all of that that he had created. And he saw that it was good. And then he put man in charge of it. That says trust to me, very much trust to me. And yeah, Satan would be really ticked off because he hates us now. I mean, because just because of how we are with God. In Hebrews chapter 2, I realize we're flipping.
Again, it is beneficial to have more Bible.
Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. I love this passage because it says it was not to angels that God subjected the habitable world of the future of which we are speaking. It has been solemnly and earnestly said in a certain place, what is man? You are mindful of him. Or the son of man that you graciously and helpfully care and visit and look after him. For some little time you've ranked him little lower than and inferior to the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the work of your hands. You have put everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to man, he left nothing outside of man's control. But at present, we do not yet see all things subjected to him. And we're going to come back to that verse. But what happened? If that's what he did, something terrible happened in the Garden of Eden. And so we're going to go back to Genesis. But Adam had such complete authority over creation that he had in his hands the legal right to grant or to give away that dominion to someone else. And that's what people don't realize. They're like, what do you mean he handed it over to Satan? He had such complete authority in his hands. I mean, God was not a micromanager. He gave that to him to manage and have dominion over. Yes?
Like you look at the parable of the talents and that, where the master gives it to him and then he leaves. Mm-hmm. He expected that to be there when he got back, at the very least.
He did.
None of those had the right to give it away.
Yes, but Adam did.
Yeah.
Yes. So we need to understand why we were created and what was given to us. For us to understand why the fall of man was such a tragic thing and why it was treason. I mean, that's a strong word. We use that with Benedict Arnold. You know, we use it for, it's a strong word. But Adam did a very, I mean, you know, we can't blame him because we would have probably been in the same place. But he did a very strong thing. So did Adam break the law? Was there a law there that he broke?
Not an yeah.
He was disobedient.
He was disobedient. He was disobedient.
It was more like he broke a rule.
It's more like he exercised his own will, which is what we do all the time. So God had given to Adam the authority to rule. He turned it over to him. In Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 to 9. And this is, we just read this portion of this in over in Hebrews.
That's Psalm of David.
Psalm 8, verse 3 says, when I view and consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained and established, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of earth-born man that you care for him? Yet you have made him but a little lower than God or heavenly beings, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep, oxen, yes, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. So here, Adam clearly had been given authority. Was Adam deceived?
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, Eve was.
What does deceived mean?
He was still, or he wouldn't have done it.
Adam did something stupid because of a woman.
I don't.
Oh! What?
Regardless of how you look at it.
Don't even blame it on the
woman. He did something stupid, though.
Listen.
Okay,
go to Genesis.
She was deceived because she, like, Adam knew eating from that tree was beyond a shadow of a doubt wrong. He explicitly received that from
yes,
God.
He did.
We don't know exactly what all he shared with Eve from that point. She got deceived in it, but for him, he was directly being disobedient to what he knew was wrong by the time he took it off her, though.
Well, let us read what he says in chapter 3. Now the serpent, this is the story. Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, Satan, said to the woman, "Can it really be that God has said you shall not eat from every tree of the garden?" Very general there. He's saying every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God has said you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." So she added a little flair there. But the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die. God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil, and blessing and calamity." And when the woman saw that the tree was good, suitable and pleasant for food, and that it was delightful to look at. So what's she going by here?
Appearance. What her eyes see.
Sense.
Oh, senses.
Her sense.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. She saw and tasted. Well, she was going to taste. She took some of its fruit and ate. And she also saw it was going to make her wise, at least according to him. It was going to make her wise.
Logic.
She took some of its fruit and ate, and she gave some also to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron-like girdles. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife had hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And God said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" And of course the man said, "The woman whom you gave me to be with me." In other words, he's actually even twisting it around to say, and it's inadvertently God's fault because he gave him the woman. And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled and cheated and outwitted and deceived me, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you're cursed above all domestic animals and above..." Now, keep in mind, these are the people that God entrusted the entire earth to. The ones he created for himself to have fellowship with. They just blew it big time. And what's God saying here? He could have gone off the charts, but he's God, you know. And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you've done this, you are cursed above all domestic animals and above every wild living thing of the field. Upon your belly you shall go, you shall eat dust and what it contains all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will bruise and tread your head underfoot, and you will lie in wait and bruise his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply your grief and your suffering in pregnancy and the pangs of childbearing. With spasms of distress you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire and craving will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." My question is, does this sound like punishment?
Yeah. Yes, but it could also be viewed as just God telling them what their actions will result in.
Which is punishment.
Yeah.
I was thinking more
so if this is punishment for the woman, a theory. Would it have been possible to have a baby without
the pain? If you look, he says he will multiply them. Multiplying implies that there was something there to begin with.
Multiply what?
It does say
multiply.
Yeah. I will greatly multiply your grief and your suffering. There is, I maintain, because I had five, that you will have pressure. You have to have pressure to get that thing out. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just saying, there has to be pressure. There doesn't have to be pain. If just like you know what the Lord says about pain and about suffering, which he took on the cross. With spasms of distress, you will bring forth children. Yet your desire and your craving will be to your for your husband, and he'll rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened and given heed to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. The ground is under a curse because of you. In sorrow and toil shall you eat of the fruits of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, life spring, because she was the mother of all living. And then they made coats, blah, blah, blah. At the end of this, in verse 22, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he'll know how to distinguish between good and evil and blessing and calamity. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So God drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden the cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep and guard the way to the tree of life. So, deceived means outwitted and tricked. And Adam listened to his wife over what God had told him. Why? Who knows? Who knows? But just hold on. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to finish this thought, okay. Jeffrey, if it's okay there.
That's okay.
Because 1 Timothy 2.
Put this hand down now. Okay. You got you good.
1 Timothy 2, verse 14. Now, I'll hold your hand in 1 Timothy. In Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17, we see where he warned him. Here we are, 2:16-17. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and blessing and calamity you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So he was warned by God. Now flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Okay. 13. Sorry. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. It was not Adam who was deceived. Now, the Word of God is saying this right here. Adam wasn't the one deceived. But the woman, Adam did his own will. He decided that he was going to do what he wanted to do.
He chose.
He disobeyed. But the woman who was deceived and deluded and fell into transgression. Nevertheless, the sentence put upon women of pain in motherhood does not hinder their soul salvation, but they will be saved eternally if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control, saved indeed through the childbearing and by the birth, or by the birth of the divine child. I maintain that you can believe God and get through that without the pain. And just have the pressure. You have to have pressure. Although my mother-in-law seemed to just slide out. But, yes, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I just realized reading through this time, when they were cursed, the woman was cursed in what she's supposed to provide in the biblical model of marriage, mm-hmm. children. Mm-hmm. And the man was cursed in what he's supposed to provide, which is providing for his family.
Mm-hmm. And he had a hard time in that because the ground was cursed then.
Yeah.
So in 1 Timothy 2:14, Adam, and we're, well, it doesn't say it in 2:14, but Satan obtained the authority that Adam had when he made his own will, when he did his own will.
Dylan has something he wanted to say.
Yeah, like a little while ago you said Adam didn't break the law. He exercised his own will.
He exercised his own will. It wasn't a law. It wasn't a law set in place like the law.
It wasn't like the Ten Commandments.
But God had specifically told him, "Do not eat of that tree." That is a command.
Right, but because he exercised, but not him exercising his will wasn't what
it made, was.
It was his decision and what his own will was. Like I don't know how to.
His free will wasn't the problem, but how he used it was the problem.
Yeah.
Basically, what she was saying too was Eve was deceived. Adam knew better and chose to still do it. Like it was a mindful, willful choice he made.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
She was tricked.
God did not like... I'm sorry. Is there something else?
Well, I think what Jeffrey said that cleared it up for me.
Okay.
The free will wasn't the problem. It was what he did with the free will.
His choice.
Well, but, yeah, think about it like this. Your parents did everything for you and lined you up so you were sitting pretty. And you more or less thumbed your nose at it all and said, I'm going to do my own thing. Parents that set up a legacy for their kids, they work hard, and then their kids go, I don't want to do that, you know, and they go off and they spurn what their parents have done for them. In essence, Adam listened to Satan through the, you know, he listened to that. He was influenced by the serpent because the serpent influenced his wife, and he, who knows, if he had not had that there, who knows if he would have ever. But he did, and we know that. So he could have taken a route. A lot of us have done. God could have taken a route of vengeance and vindication. But for him to flash out with anger, he had to be upset because here this is his beloved children. Because Adam didn't just do it for his own family; it was for all of mankind. It affected.
Because all of mankind was his family.
He was the first Adam. He was the father of humans. And so for him to do that, and how do you think Adam felt when he got kicked out of the garden and was not allowed to return to that garden where all of his things were provided for, all his food, anything he needed, he didn't have to sweat, you know, all of that, and not only that, no more walks in the cool of the day with the Father God. That, you remember Jesus on the cross saying, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? It's that same heart going, what did I do? But here's what happens with humans. They blow it, and then they feel convicted. Well, actually, they feel condemned and convicted. Convicted, they get it right. They'll go and they'll confess. But when they're not convicted and they're condemned, then they start lashing out in anger. And they'll say, well, it's called the blame game. And well, so-and-so had, like, he goes, my wife, this woman you gave me, she's the one that talked me into doing this, you know. Take responsibility for your own mistakes is what I say. So,
I just wanted to ask, okay, this is kind of a weird question, but like the chicken, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? But as we know, God knew that it was going to play out this way. So, you know, it gets mixed up in your mind. You know, he could have maybe made it different, but I know he wanted, you know, they had free will, so they could, and so he already had things in place, but sometimes, you know, you think, well, why didn't, I don't know.
It's the age-old question.
Yes.
You know, why if you knew?
Right.
Because he wanted us to have the free will so we could worship and fellowship with him. Mm-hmm. Did he know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is it disappointing as a parent when your kids make the wrong decision and do the wrong thing?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But he made provision. He couldn't be unjust. Here's the thing. He couldn't do something. He forgave them.
Right.
But just forgiving them was not enough. He had to make sure that their nature, because now their nature, their father was no longer God. Their father was the devil. And so almost immediately they leave the desert. They leave the garden. And what happens to his kids?
They leave too.
Yeah, but one of them kills the other one. So there's a killing and then there's lying. Yeah. Who's the father of lies? Who steals, kills, and destroys? Yeah. What?
Whenever you face that question, why did God not do something differently?
Yeah.
I proposed the possibility that if they had been in the garden, if Adam and Eve hadn't screwed up, if God had made it so they wouldn't screw up, probability, as they multiplied, eventually someone would have screwed up. And Jesus still would have needed to come and die.
Well, God set it up. It seems to us, it seems like it was a long time from then. And especially if you were a slave in the land of Egypt, you probably would have thought, what in the world, you know, we need our Messiah.
But to me, it's no different than you can look at things that your own child would do, no matter how horrible it is. Would you really go back and wish them to not be in existence?
Well, we look at Adam and he's called the first Adam. And then we look at Jesus and he's called the second Adam. So I know that God's plan, even though we do hard things sometimes, we as a result of our own decisions. Mm-hmm. But God made a way, and that's why it's so precious to us, I think, is first of all, seeing what he had created, seeing how cushy he really had made it. And then because of the decision that was made there, all of mankind got put into jeopardy and then was separated from God for years on end. And so let's go over to Luke chapter 4, because we're going to look at where Jesus was tempted up on the mountain. And see, this Adam was tempted and he failed. And here's Jesus being tempted in Luke chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And he passed the test. Because, you know, he wouldn't even have had to go to, he wouldn't have, his flesh would have said, yeah, I don't want to go through the cross. I don't want to go through that agony. He was human, like we were, and he passed the test because the devil was giving him an out. I'll give you the kingdoms. Let's read this here. In verse 4, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, 5, starting 5.
Okay.
But he has already started to tempt him before this. But in verse 5, it says, the devil took him up to the high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the habitable world in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye. What's he showing him? All the kingdoms of the habitable world. And he said to him, to you I will give all this power and authority and their glory, for it has been turned over to me, and I give it to whomever I will. Well, did God turn it over to the devil?
No.
Who turned it over to the devil? Yeah. So he says, therefore, if you'll do homage to me and worship me just once, it'll all be yours. What an easy out. Except that the Savior had a bigger plan in mind. And he wasn't taking the easy way out. He was doing it right, paid by the blood of Jesus. So,
it wasn't an out if he had done it.
Was this a very real temptation to Jesus?
Yeah. It says he was tempted.
Yeah.
Of course it was. He was tempted.
So he had to combat that, just like
we
have to.
We covered that, like, you don't have to die, I'll just give it to you now.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been the out.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to die, it's mine, I can just
That's
give
right.
it to you.
You
can
It'd be like the hero in a TV show being offered by the villain what he's looking for, he'll just do this one thing.
Then the show would be over before the hour's up.
Yeah. But in this case, if Jesus had done it,
And this show was thousands of years in the making.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It would have ended sooner, and he would have been on the wrong side because of what he did.
Yeah.
And then we'd really be
so, my question is, why did Satan go there? Why did Satan show up in the garden? Why did Satan do what he did to Eve and do all that?
He was trying to get it back.
He hated God, absolutely. Okay. He hated God. Yeah. He had bitterness. He had resentment. He hated God. He hated God's people, these people that God had done all this for. What better way to thwart God than to get one of his precious children to commit high treason against him? I mean, who wants to be that person? You know, when you say it like that, I mean, I just, my heart goes out to Adam, because I don't know that any one of us would have done anything different. And he knew how much he had given up. Not given up, had taken away.
Yeah.
Taken away. So God had a plan, though. Satan was trying to split up. That was his main goal. He was trying to split up that father-son, father-daughter relationship and just bust it apart. And it was busted apart for a while. But God had a plan, and he still had it even through that whole thing. And he and that's why it says the mysteries. We read about the mysteries. Well, who was it a mystery from? It was the mystery from the devil. So he couldn't thwart it. So when I said temporarily, I meant Adam's sin had been brought into the picture. When he sinned, he brought the spiritual death into the picture. Spiritual death. Romans 5:12. I always thought as a kid, I thought, well, we didn't die. I mean, when that all happened, Adam didn't die right away. I didn't understand the difference between spiritual death. So in Romans 5:12, it says, therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death as the result of sin, so death spread to all men, no one being able to stop it or to escape its power, because all men sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before ever the law was given, but sin is not charged to men's account where there is no law to transgress. Yet death held sway from Adam to Moses, the lawgiver, even over those who did not themselves transgress. Adam was a type of the one who was to come in reverse. The former was destructive, the latter saving. Talking about Jesus.
What verses were those?
I read all the way down through verse 14.
All right.
Yep. Man was still a spiritual being here. He was separated, alienated from God. There are three deaths recorded in these scriptures. One of them is a physical death. Your physical death. That's when your spirit and your soul separate from your body. We've all heard, well, what's it, heaven's for real? Different cases of when people have left the body. And number two is a spiritual death. And that's what we're talking about here. The spiritual death, which is a separation of man's spirit from God. Is it relative? Are you talking with your mouth? Okay, let me give you the third one. The third one is the second death. And that's eternal separation from God. And that's those, a state where the nature of God is no longer available or accessible to men. That's that end of the line. So Ephesians chapter 2, what were you going to say, Jeffrey?
On the question you asked, why did Satan do that?
Mm-hmm.
I still think Revelation 12:12 provides the answer to any question about why Satan does anything he does.
Why Satan does anything he does? Because he knows his end.
But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short.
Well, he is filled with fury, but it's almost like beyond. I mean, he knows his end, but it was like. I just want to do whatever I can do to just thwart God.
Well, if you're angry at someone,
oh,
you're going to want to make life miserable for them.
As long as I can, yeah. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I don't even know what time is there. Okay. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. It says, you he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins. In which at one time you walked habitually, you were following the course and the fashion of this world, were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air, who is who?
Satan.
Mm-hmm. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. Among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated to by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then, by nature, children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead and slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which we did not deserve, you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And I like verse 6, he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus the Messiah, the Anointed One. We will learn more about that. I think there's one more class about then going on from this, but we're talking about the fall. So we didn't stay there. He had a plan. He had a plan to resurrect, but not just forgive. Because look, remember in the Old Testament, they had sacrifices? Well, why do you think that was?
To forgive.
Just to remember their sin.
It was to cover their sin because they didn't have anything that could bring them out of that death. That they were like he says here, you know, we were following the prince of the power of the air. We were in death, but he gave us the life of Christ as we came into him.
It's like the difference between throwing all the dirty laundry in the closet and actually getting rid of it.
Yeah. Genesis 2:17. That's back to that same question: why he did not die right away? Because remember we talked about the three different deaths? Well, spiritually death, he did die right away. His spirit was over to the dark side, over to the evil side. Genesis 2:17.
Come to the dark side, we have cookies.
No, yeah. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil and blessing and calamity you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. He died spiritually right away. But his physical body, as far as that physical death, it was over 900 years later before he died.
930.
But what about the life that he led after he had to get out of the garden? It was not the same. It was not the same. He had to fight tooth and nail. It was not the same.
I had a question about Adam and Eve. Was there a way that they were provided redemption?
Well, paradise, when Jesus went to paradise, you know, they could, anybody could have accepted, and I believe in my optimistic mind, I believe he would have. How could you not if you had experienced that?
Yeah.
And then why would you say no?
Because, you know, they knew something that nobody else after them knew.
Yeah.
Like they had it all and then lost it.
Yeah.
As long as they were obedient in the sacrifices that God required, then they would have been saved.
Well, Jesus went and preached to them, and they had the ability to say, yes. I want, yes.
What you were saying, you and my mom were saying, though, about how they would know stuff that no one else knew, and that, and how could they? That reminds me of when Paul's writing at one point, in one of his letters, he says about how can someone who has, like, known God, who has the Holy Spirit, how can they turn away? And yet some people still do.
And they do. Yet they do. They're
so
blind.
It's possible. It's the Adam and Eve could have still said no. It's
just a tickle.
Unthinkable, but.
Mm-hmm. All of man was identified with Adam in his spiritual death. He had been the head of God's creation. So now spiritual death becomes the nature of every man born into the world. Romans chapter 5.
Lynn, do you think, I mean, not that it would have, maybe it didn't matter, but did he really, he affected generations and generations?
Oh,
as soon as they had their kids.
Who realizes that at the point of sin? You're telling yourself, and I've heard people say it, I'm not hurting anybody but me.
Yeah, so he probably didn't think about that.
No, because your flesh is calling and your flesh is saying, I want that. you know?
So he your head may be saying, hey, what about that? What
and
about
that's
that?
But short-term. Short-term, because if he'd have thought it through and thought, no more walks with God, no more closeness, no more garden, he just didn't. He just didn't. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Says, therefore, sin came into the world through one man, and death as a result of sin. So death spread to all men, no one being able to stop it or to escape its power, because all men sinned. And then in Romans 5...
What was that?
Romans 5:12. But then we're dropping down to 17.
Were we just in Romans 5:12?
Yes.
Honey,
yes.
She's back.
But sometimes we come back to a verse.
No, I didn't catch that it was the same verse in my head. That's why I was confused.
She's just observing out loud.
She said earlier we were coming back here, too.
I thought I had the wrong reference for earlier.
No, no.
And that's why I was...
And now I'm 17.
We're dropping down to 17 to 19. It says, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings where? In heaven?
In life.
In life, through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. Well then, as one man's trespass, one man's false step and falling away led to condemnation for all men, so one man's, capital M, act of righteousness leads to acquittal and right standing with God and life for all men. For just as by one man's disobedience the many were constituted sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be constituted righteous, made acceptable to God, brought into right standing with him. Now we're going to drop back to verse 15 again and read, but God's free gift is not at all to be compared to the trespass. His grace is out of all proportion to the fall of man. For if many died through one man's falling away, his lapse, his offense, much more profusely did God's grace and the free gift that comes through the undeserved favor of the man, one man, Jesus Christ, abound and overflow to and for the benefit of many. So spiritual death, we know, flows from and originates from who?
Satan.
And spiritual life originates and flows from?
God.
Amen. So Satan was in heaven working on God's team. We all know that story. He turned against God and his nature changed. Adam sinned and his nature changed. So God had to find a way, which he did, to not just forgive us, to forgive Adam and the mankind, but to change our nature, our very nature. E.W. Kenyon put it this way. Man was born again when he sinned. And we think of that as a godly thing, being born again. But I love how he says this because it's true. Man was born again when he sinned. He became a child of Satan. He had not been a child of Satan. He was born again in a bad way. And so when we come to Jesus, we get born again back into his kingdom.
And it's kind of interesting because after they were born again into sin, everyone after them was just born into sin.
Yeah.
They were never born.
They were never, So do you see why high treason was committed? Do you see what happened there? Do you see, you know, the big sin here? This was man's condition of spiritual death. Now, we all lived in that until Jesus Christ came and gave us a way back in again. So, our Father God made known his will to us, or to Adam and all of mankind. He made his, he wanted us to eat of the tree of life. He wanted Adam and Eve to eat of that tree of life. He would have wanted us to eat of that tree of life. He would have wanted to walk in the cool of the garden. That was his desire for his children. That was his desire. How many general wills are in this world? That's kind of a hard question.
Yeah, it is.
How many different wills are in this world? And when I said general, I meant overall. I'm not saying...
Approximately.
So there's like God's will and there's... serving Satan, Satan's will.
And one other.
And man's will.
Three wills. So in our spiritual life, we're dependent on God. Or Satan. because you could be spiritually hooked up with Satan. And that would be, the one with Satan is either by default, by not making a decision, or on purpose.
Actively rebelling.
Or on purpose, yeah. Our will is also in sync. I was just talking about in our spiritual life, but our will is another thing that's either in sync with God, or it's in sync with Satan, or we have our own way. We want to do our own thing. So in the garden, man refused God's will. He knew the will of God, and he refused the will of God. So he made his own choice with a little coercing from the serpent, and in doing that, came into bondage to Satan. He gave it over. So look at what transpired. We read in Genesis 3, fellowship was broken between Adam and Eve and God. And there were no legal grounds of approach. And that's, remember, very first semester in this thing, we learned about the legal terms. There was no legal approach to God whatsoever unless he sent Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God. So he couldn't just forgive and just kind of sweep it under the rug.
Yeah. Well, that's what that sacrifice is then, though, in the Old Testament.
Well, it's a time of waiting here. He had to make a way for them to be able to even function. But then he had the plan in. So why did it say Adam was driven out of the garden?
So that he wouldn't eat of the tree of life and live forever.
Why would
in a
separated state, exactly. That is why. Because he would have lived forever. God didn't want that. He knew Adam would have another chance. Adam would have another chance, which is what he... But how hard would that have been for... We think about how hard it was for Adam. How hard do you think it was for the father to have all that... See all that happen between his kids and Satan... And then know what has to, I mean, just as parents, if you have to discipline hard and you love your kids, but you know you have to discipline them because otherwise they grow up to be brats. Spoiled brats. So just like on the cross, and we talked about Jesus being separated from his Father God because of the sin that was put on him. So remember, we talked about Adam's kids already, almost immediately. You know, we've got a murder, lying. So, this spiritual death caused mankind to stop walking in the spirit realm. He had walked with his creator. He no longer walked with his creator. Think of this. He had never had to use... I mean, he had a brain, and he named the animals. But he had always had the ability of God there. The creative power of God there. God was with him. Now, all of a sudden, he's cut off. And he only has his own wits. And he only has his own rationale, his own logic. And this is how we got into this sense knowledge, a way of judging things and making decisions. Because we didn't know how to be spirit people anymore. We didn't know how to walk like Adam and Eve had walked. Now, it's been available to us for a very long time. Since Jesus. Since the Holy Ghost came. But we've been stuck in a rut, and the body of Christ has not been told this, and we're still operating in the natural. And that's the fallen man. That's not the spirit man. That's not the spiritual, supernatural way God wants for us. So we don't have the aid of spiritual perception. So I just want one more scripture here because we gotta go. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 14.
Wait a second. I should know this.
Because this sounds familiar to me too.
Is this an LTS verse?
Not in the Amplified.
No, it was just from a studying Bible quiz. All
right.
Hebrews 2:14 and 15, because we needed a new life and a new creation. And so in this new creation, we had to be delivered from Satan's authority. And we had to have no fear of Satan, so we'd be free to receive life. So in verses 14 and 15 of Hebrews 2, it says, since therefore these his children share in flesh and blood in the physical nature of human beings, he himself in a similar manner partook of the same nature, that by going through death he might bring to naught and make of no effect him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and also that he might deliver and completely set free for all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives. I think that's powerful. That's powerful right there.
That sounds like a good place to leave.
God had to give us life back. We were in death. Spiritually, death. But he first had to make it legal. He had to make it legal for us to actually walk in that kind of freedom. See, now the devil doesn't have a leg to stand on, and he knows it, like that verse where he says, you know, he knows his time is short.
He's angry about it.
Well, I'm sure in his mind, if he had one, he thinks he got a raw deal. Because don't we all rationalize that when we got in trouble?
Yeah.
And instead we don't, you know, we don't repent. We go, well,
it isn't fair.
That's right.
Yeah, because he thought he was equal to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's frustrated
too.
Too
big for his britches.
You know the question that came up quite a while ago about God already knew everything, so why did he still make them and stuff? Mm-hmm. We do that joke about God loves me, or God loves us all, but I'm his favorite. Mm-hmm. If you honestly believed that every single one of us is God's favorite, for him to have not made Adam and Eve would not have been a possibility, because he would have turned his back on love, and that's what he is, and he can't. He loved every single one of us so much, regardless of what we choose.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's true even now.
That is
so
true.
It wouldn't have been an option for him to not have made them.
Right, right.
My only thing, though, is then people will pose the question, well, then why did he put the tree of life in the garden?
Because
I've heard that one too.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little harder to.
What are you taunting them? Are you?
The tree of knowledge.
Sorry,
Jeff. When you're a little kid and you tell me you love me, I'm your mom. Like you count on me for everything. But as you get older and say you hit 40 and you still look at me and say you love me, that I love you means even more than it did when you were little. Because by that point, it's a choice. And don't you think God wanted people to love him by choice too? Not just because there was never an option.
Why did he put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden then? Why didn't he just put it next door?
Because it gave him an option to love
him. Next door outside the garden?
If you love me, you will keep my commands. True?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't... You can't put all the toys up. Like, I have a 2-year-old granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And... When my kids would go over to his grandmother's house, and she had all these little knickknacks down there. She refused to put them up. So we had to teach our children not to touch them.
I like that you can't put all the toys up.
That's good.
That's right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So, Jeffrey, if I give you the free will to choose, and yet I only give you one choice, have I really given you free will? As well, like Tracy was saying, love that hasn't passed a crucible, right? There hasn't been a test of the love, right? It's easy love, right?
It truly isn't love.
And it's
never been proven.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You could even argue that it's a deficient love, right? And one of my favorite definitions of sin, right, is that it is disordered love. You're loving something more than you should. Mm-hmm. You should. You're loving something more than you love God, right? Mm-hmm. And so God, right, in his great wisdom, in his great mercy, and in his great love, gave us something that it hurt him to give us. Right. So that in the New Jerusalem at the end, right, which is really the beginning, right, something so beautiful can exist, right? This communion that we all can have with God, right, that has been paid for, right? And apparently to him, that's worth it, right? That's worth all of the pain, right? And that's good enough for me. Mm-hmm.
I like that look. He's good enough for me. That was a good look, by the way, people listening to the tape. It's very, like, emphatic.
All right. Mary, do you want to... Oh, I'm sorry, you're writing. You want to pray and close us out?
Okay. Dear Father, we just thank you for our time together and just being able to hear your word and understand fully your plan for us, and be thankful for everything that you've given us and will give us. Just we ask you to let us take this message to our family, any, you know, one that unsaved loved ones, like we were asking the question about our friends, our work friends, our family, our neighbors, whoever, that we can either model it or talk to them, you know, whatever, whatever is the best. And just give everyone safe traveling back to their homes. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.